Living the Sweet Life is a podcast intended for mature audiences only. We'll be using sexually explicit language while discussing many different adult themes. So if you're under the age of 18, please stop listening. Also, please know that our thoughts and opinions should not be taken as professional advice.
We're here to answer your questions about the swinger lifestyle, from newbies to longtime swingers, or if you're just curious. We hope to engage you all and to encourage a sex-positive discussion.
Now that we've got that out of the way, make yourself comfortable and join us in living the sweet life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us in this episode of Living the Sweet Life. She is my beautiful, sexy co-host and wife, the lovely Trist.
And he is my sexy chocolate husband, Locke.
And ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is the first time you're going to hear that little intro. You are going to hear it again in the next couple of minutes because, Trist, what do we have coming up in this very, very special episode?
Our very first sweet and greet.
That's right, man. The sweet and greet. And that was a spectacular event. That's one of the things I'm so proud of. Like, we've done a lot of great things, but I'm really proud of that one. So what is the sweet and greet?
So it's basically we put a filter out asking if people wanted to volunteer to come with us to kind of pregame before the actual sneaker ball that was happening at Taboo Social Club that night. So we didn't want it to get too crazy, big, and out of control. So some people volunteered, and we had some friends come in in town, and they volunteered. No one was on camera, so it was all pre-recorded. Yeah. But it was really nice to be able to hear just people give it their, like, instant, you know, input. We do that, too, on the show because the show is live, obviously, but this was just different, right?
You got to hear their voices.
Yeah, you got to hear their actual voices and give their opinions. And they didn't know, like, all of the questions that was going to be asked. Mm-hmm. The way that we set it up was that we had people, we let them know ahead of time to write out some misconceptions or
myths
about
bad advice
about being in the lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
But you'll hear that in the description in the episode coming up. But it was so cool. As you'll hear, the chemistry was, your favorite word, Trist, organic.
Organic.
That's right.
And I think somebody mentioned that too.
Yeah, it was organic. It was fun. It was honest. And it was on point. Like, we really had a good time. We had about 12 to 15 people down there. And down there, I mean, in Vicky's VIP lounge.
Absolutely.
Right down there with the sex rooms. So we had the nice little mood set, even though it was a pretty deep topic. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool, and we're really appreciative, as you'll hear. So, yeah, you're going to hear that coming up soon. We just wanted to give y'all a little intro to it. I hope y'all enjoy it. So stay tuned for that. But y'all know we got to knock out a little bit of housekeeping. So the sneaker ball, Trist, is all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
Sneaker ball was awesome. Like, we had a really good time at the sneaker ball. They even threw in something, like, extra. They had the pictures beforehand when you came in. They also had kind of a sneaker game where everybody was given these little small, like, Converse keychains and tried to find, like, your match. I thought that was a good touch on it.
Yeah, we're going to go into so much more detail in our upcoming live episode. Mm-hmm. But just to bottom line it, sneaker ball was so worth it. And it was a great turnout. And we cannot wait until next year, which is September 14th, 2024.
Yes. So if you missed out this year, make sure you check it out next year.
So I guess that's our first bit of housekeeping. September 14th, 2024, Taboo Social Club, sneaker ball. Third annual sneaker ball. How about that? What else we got going on? PCAP is coming up.
PCAP is coming up, and I'm still excited. I am pumped.
Yeah, we just got off a Zoom call with all the PCAPers or Libertine event people, and everybody is jazzed up, ready to go with our outfits. So I know if you're listening to this and you haven't gotten a ticket or anything like that, don't worry. It's going to be all right. There'll be other events, and yes, we're certainly going to be promoting them. So just stay tuned. Mm-hmm. They're going to be coming your way. We'll make sure we get the information to you as soon as it's available to us. And you can join one of those parties, man, because there's going to be a bunch of them.
Absolutely.
And the last thing we got going on is Casual Swinger Week. Mm-hmm. We're going back to Hedo. Y'all already know it's March 30th through April 6th of 2024. Mm-hmm. And that party is going to be lit. We cannot wait to get out there. We're going to be talking to the hosts, the Casual Swinger folks. And we're going to be planning out the games. We're going to be planning out the little events and excursions. And, you know, Tristan and I, we like to do our own personal little excursions all over town. But it's going to be lit. Hopefully you can join us.
Yeah, there's still open spots.
I think there's some open spots. One.
We just had some friends sign up recently as well.
That's right.
To go on this trip. This trip this year is going to be, it's going to be different, right? Because it's like now we're like, hey, we came back, we're telling our friends like, hey, we had a really good time, this is kind of what happened. And these are people that have been on trips with like other groups and things like that, so they're not totally like brand new. And we came back raving about how much we had a great time and things like that, and not because we're just trying to promote it because we're hosting or anything, but it was just we really had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, full disclosure, we weren't hosts last time.
No, we weren't.
We had no reason.
We were just guests.
Yeah,
last we were time. Guests. Yep.
So, you know, Trish, one of the coolest things from the weekend with the Sneaker Ball was being at brunch with a bunch of people from the Sneaker Ball and them saying they're going to Casual Swinger Week also.
Yes.
And it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that really warmed my heart. So these people are trusting us, and they're trusting Mickey and Mallory, and they're trusting this crew and everything that we said. And they're going with us
on this trip.
So listen, y'all, we're going to have some legit sweet talkers coming down to Jamaica. And I hope y'all can be there.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great time.
It's going to be a great time. So for everybody else, check out. Don't forget to show your support on Full Swap Radio, all of the wonderful lifestyle podcasts over there. And don't forget, if you're going on any of these lifestyle trips, check out our partners at shamelesscare.com, where if you put in the code SWEETLIFE, you get a nice little discount on all your little pregame packets, you know, your STD checks, your ED medicine, all that wonderful stuff that you might want to look into before and after going on a lifestyle vacation.
So absolutely.
Check them out. Shamelesscare.com, promo code SWEETLIFE. So I think that about wraps it up, y'all.
Yes.
So go ahead, sit back, relax, listen to the episode, and let us know what y'all think.
And maybe next year you can join us for the Sweet and Greet.
That's right. Talk to y'all next time.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is my beautiful, sexy co-host and wife, the lovely Trist.
And he is my sexy chocolate husband, Locke.
And thank you so much for joining us in this live episode of Living the Sweet Life.
Yay!
Yes.
I'm cheering for us too. Yay! Oh.
No, this is a fantastically special episode. We are sitting in the basement in Vicky's suite. Is it Vicky's lounge?
It's Vicky's VIP lounge.
There you go. That's it. We're going to be politically correct. We're going to be correct here. We are in Vicky's VIP lounge of Taboo Social Club in Catonsville, Maryland, where we are doing the first ever, babe, Sweet and Greet. You like that
name? Sweet and Greet.
That's right. It's the Sweet and Greet. So
see,
we have.
I got it right.
We got a live audience of some of our closest friends, and we are truly grateful to Vicky, to everybody for taking the time out of all their preparations for the second annual Sneaker Ball. Who's excited? Who's excited? That's right, man.
I know. I can't wait. I got my outfit in the car. I was just looking all pretty.
Your outfit takes up most of the car.
It does. It takes up a lot of the front seat, and I'm excited.
Legit does. I'm glad we didn't get pulled over, but yeah, no. I'm appreciative, baby. I can't wait to see you in it. But listen, we are sitting here with, again, some of our closest friends. These folks are beautiful. They are awesome, and we're appreciative of them taking the time out. And we're sitting here co-hosting with none other than Paradise and Mr. Deep. Dependable. That's right. Clap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So listen, man, y'all know how it is. Before we get all into the shenanigans, all the craziness, all the all of our hearts beating out of our chest because we're upset about some bad advice that we got, y'all know I got to check in with the boo and the crew. So, baby, how you feeling?
I just told you. I was excited about my outfit. I've been trying to get this outfit together for months, trying to figure out what I was going to wear. And yeah. I was looking for something else in the store for something different. And I came across it. I was like, that's it. Yeah. I'm wearing that.
You're definitely channeling your inner Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you did.
So I'm going to check in with my friends, too, man. Mr. Dependable, how you feel? Nope. How dare I? How dare I skip over the wonderful, beautiful paradise? Ma'am, how you feeling?
I'm feeling quite excited.
I'm telling you. What you excited about?
I was so looking forward to tonight, and then when you said something about a sweet and greet beforehand, I was like, oh yeah. Shit, the day gets started early.
Right. If ever we needed another reason to start drinking early.
Yes.
But here we are, man. And Mr. Dependable, how you feeling, my friend?
Always good to be here with all the lovely friends that we have. That we've made throughout the year, so I'm happy to be here, and it's gonna be a good, great night.
Yes,
plus
that's
anniversary
right.
night too.
So. Oh yeah,
18 years.
Yeah.
In. 18
years. 18 Woo. Years.
18 years.
Woo!
It makes us look. I said the other day when we celebrated our anniversary, and we're sitting there talking with some of our friends is here tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, we're celebrating 7 years. And they were like, oh, yeah. And so I got 20 and 18. And I was like, dang. Makes my 7 sound like nothing, right?
No, seven is the good hump to get over, though.
Yeah.
It is. It is. They talk about the 7-year itch, man. But, you know, I'm rolling. I'm still scratching, babe. You're making me feel good. Wait, I don't know if that sounds sexy tonight. No, scratch that. We're going to forget that. Don't forget I said that.
I scratched my itch. What itch? Where was the itch?
Come
sorry.
On, man.
I'm sorry.
I'm stuck. You got me stuck.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, leave it there.
Okay. So. How are you feeling?
Oh, yeah.
Forget
me.
About yourself?
Me? Oh, man. Listen, I'm just excited. I am truly grateful for Vicky for opening up the sweet and greet, the sweet for us. This is awesome. I'm pumped up. We got friends in town from New Orleans. We got our local friends. We got some new friends. And, man, we got friends who ain't even here yet.
Yeah.
But we are ready. I'm excited. The sneaker ball is going to be dope.
Yeah.
I know everybody's pumped up, man. And, yeah, I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to get this day cracking.
Yep. Me too.
All right.
I got part one, part two.
So, all right. Without further ado, my beautiful queen, my wonderful sweet talkers, are y'all ready to get into tonight's episode?
Let's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's go. All right, folks, thank y'all for hanging in there. Listen, again, tonight's topic is myths, misconceptions, and just plain bad advice. So you might ask yourself, like, you might say something like bad advice doesn't quite fit in with myths and misconceptions. But I will argue that bad advice tends to come from myths and misconceptions, right? Those can kind of lead you down the wrong path. If somebody believes that, you know, every time it fucking rains, it's like acid rain, and they provide advice like, look, you need to wear like lead clothing or some shit. Like, it's going to protect you from that. They're giving you bad advice off of something that they believe. Now, why is that dangerous? Why is that problematic in the lifestyle? Why are misconceptions and just those kind of thoughts troublesome?
I would say, like, for us, especially early on, I'm just using that earlier experience when we were new, like brand new to the lifestyle. And we came here. We came to Taboo. It was our first time coming. And someone made it sound like that, you know, you're going to come in the door and people are just going to jump on you and try to take off your clothes. So we were literally, when our first time came in the club, we were like arm in arm locked up like this.
Yeah.
Seriously, because we thought that that was what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we met the... Yeah, exactly. That's what we thought, right? We thought that because it was
Someone
we
told us.
There. You were lucky.
Yeah. Someone told us that. So we were like, oh, this is what's going to happen. And it was quickly like debunked.
Dispelled. Yeah. Right.
We
right.
met the host couple that night who actually taught us a lot.
Mr. Like, and Mrs. Pasties.
Yeah. They taught us a lot early on in the lifestyle. They introduced us to some people who we're still friends with, like to this day. They kind of like ran it through, like this is this, this is that.
Right.
And then we looked at their cadence and how they were doing things. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, it's not that bad.
They were
like,
the first couple that we heard say, no pressure.
Yes.
No pressure. No
true.
Pressure.
That's true.
It was like, oh, we were so disarmed, like immediately. Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Like, go ahead, Paradise. Look how you're about to say something. I'm sorry.
No. I was waiting for you because I was just reminiscing back on our first time at a club.
Go for it.
We won't talk about that first time.
Yeah.
Because one of the misconceptions came into play and I started hyperventilating and crying at the table and told me, don't want me no more. You need people already.
Oh.
You know, it was just like this.
What was it, though? What was the trigger for you?
So the thing, it wasn't even really a trigger. It was just walking around and I'm like 75 things in your brain at once.
Yeah.
And they all come out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we were only about 2 years married, and I was like, so my misconception was you needed this when your sex life got boring.
Right.
Well, shit, we're boring already. Like, he ain't saying it. Is he just bringing me here because he's trying to tell me we're bored or what?
Yeah.
So that was one of the misconceptions. Yeah. And if he brings up me crying and hyperventilating when he tells me I'm going to bang him in the head with this mic.
But I think that is a common one. Mr. Dependable, did you have something to add there on that one?
Oh, he's like, no, just, she got it.
Yes, she does. We did a lot of, I did a lot of the research before and asked her a lot of questions and talked to her about it before we made the long drive to the club.
Right.
So when we got there, I was astounded a little bit just because where her mind was at.
Right.
From feeling that I was trying to pimp her out. To other people. That's what she said.
So. Yeah. And like I was about to say, I think that's probably one of the most common misconceptions is that, you know, when people bring up the idea of opening your marriage, you know, being a part of the lifestyle or even just introducing the words, it's like, oh, shit, am I not enough?
Yeah.
You know? Did we hit that stage of, you know, that stage in life already? Like, goddamn, my titties are still in shape, you know. And you start looking down at your crush like, shit. Goddamn it. It was one time, baby. It was one time I came early. I'm sorry.
No.
I promise it's not going to be like this the whole marriage. Damn. But, yeah, I do think that's probably one of the most common ones. And the same one that you said. Like, we truly believe that when we walked into the front door of Taboo Vicky that we were going to be walking over bodies fucking.
Yeah, we did.
We had no idea what we were in store for. Yeah, we did. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You overcame that. Yeah, we were definitely like arm in arm, but we quickly just made friends and walked around and it was good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so the way tonight's conversation is going to work, folks, is that all of these wonderful visitors and friends, they have contributed some of their myths and misconceptions and just bad advice into a bag. And we're going to start digging out these little things, and we're going to try to debunk them. I like that word. That was a good word you pulled out there. Debunked.
They said that a lot in the last election.
So we're going to start pulling those out. So, Trist, go ahead, baby. Pull out the first one, and we're going to tear this thing apart together. Let's see how we feel about it.
Ooh, I know who wrote this. Let me see.
They typed this shit up.
Yes.
Somebody did their homework.
Right.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't know that there are rules and a sense of decorum when it comes to the lifestyle.
That's huge. How do y'all feel about that?
Oh, y'all gotta talk into the mic. Too,
yeah, if y'all want to, y'all can definitely pass that around.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You can just take it out.
Wrote that one.
Or you can pet the whole thing if you want.
Anybody can just.
There we go.
Anybody can
answer. Yeah.
Okay. What was it again?
Basically, the dance of decorum.
There's decorum and rules.
There are no rules.
Yeah, some people probably think. Oh, go for it.
I completely agree that that there is, there has to establish rules in order for people to feel comfortable. It's not like we're all sex fiends and that
right.
like, we can't control anything. I mean, yeah, there's a lot that comes into play. And mm-hmm. if you don't have those rules, a lot of people just don't feel safe.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think there's levels to the rules, right? You have your level, your rules and boundaries within yourself as a couple. And then, as the person mentioned, that there's a decorum amongst like rules of engagement when you're speaking, engaging and talking and trying yeah. to introduce yourself and find potential play partners with other couples as well. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those ideas? What are some like some boundaries that we have, Trist? And then feel free to share, Mr. Dependable.
Boundaries mm-hmm. like for me,
or at least when we first started,
I
think, you know,
I mean, I still have the same one.
Sure.
So for me, I don't like for guys or women to just come up and say, oh, I want to have sex with you. That's great. And then I'm like walking around and then I'll just walk away, because there's still a decorum to that. Like, there's still kind of like I call it dating, but not dating in a sense that I'm trying to actually be your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is. But it's still a certain of courting. Let's say that.
Courting.
Like
absolutely.
Courting. Even if it's just for the night. A couple mm-hmm. of hours or things like that, you get more for me from, like, if you just take it and just say, hi, how you doing, a general conversation, than you would by just telling me that, hey, you trying to do this tonight?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, yeah. I'm not trying to do anything tonight.
Right. Don't I know it? Like, I've been shut down just throwing that shit out. Like, that shit don't work for me. Like, hey, I know it ain't going to work for you.
You trying to do this? Nope.
What about y'all, Paradise, Mr. Dependable?
You're just...
What about the rules?
Things with the fat head up so in my face. I was sitting here kind of thinking like, think of anything off the top of my head. Is something
I know rules, our rules have developed and changed mm-hmm. As we've grown throughout the lifestyle. I believe much like many women, I think they like to be courted. They like some type of foreplay, some mm-hmm. type of interaction, some type of mental stimulation, mm-hmm. unlike most men. It's mostly a lot of times it can be more of the physical aspect. I know myself. I like foreplay. I like to talk a lot. So I can see why women would feel the way they do,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong with that. I also feel that I think all of us at some point have some type of rules. You know, we've yeah. had that in regular yeah. life when we're just regular dating, and I think things have changed a little bit from when we first got into the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Have mm-hmm. you noticed how even the club interaction has been, and how individuals have more? I think they feel if they paid for the entrance fee, they feel as though then sex is automatically
it's a part of the fee.
Yeah. So I think sometimes that's a lot of the misconceptions that come along with individuals.
You know what it is.
And then they feel some type of way when they get to the party and then they leave and feel as though nothing was accomplished physically. Mm. So I think sometimes those are some of the assumptions.
I think that's about like setting your expectations reasonably also. Yeah. Like, I mean, some people, let's face it, like we all have some kind of expectation when we're going to a lifestyle event. Even if that expectation is I'm just going to have a good time with my wife, right? Or my partner.
Yep.
I'm here to have a good time. You're setting your expectations. If you set your expectations too high, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And I got shit to do with that. I don't owe you nothing. And nobody in the club owes you anything just because you pay the entry fee.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. Any other feedback? Any other comments on boundaries and all that?
I'll jump in real quick. So, like, our biggest thing is when we're, like, mentoring people is just communication is key. Like, you got to mm-hmm. be able to talk to your partner. And it's crazy how many people are afraid to talk to their partner about their sexual fantasies and sexual desires. But that's, like, your teammate. That's your life partner. If not them, then who? So you got to be on the same page. You shouldn't be afraid to talk to them about everything mm-hmm. and just create like a judgment-free zone with each other where you're both free to share whatever it is to each other. And but from there...
That is like an establishment of rules in that communication. So
yeah.
Yeah.
For instance, we are we only play together
mm-hmm.
With other people, but in the mm-hmm. same room.
Sure.
So that's just, we don't know if that's going to change. It quite possibly mm-hmm.
yeah.
could, but that's what we're comfortable with right now. And yep. so,
there you go.
You know, that's,
Yeah.
That's an established rule.
That's just the way we are. Like, we like being with each other. Like, I like giving her a fantasy. Yeah, she likes giving mine, but... And the other thing we try to, like, mentor people on is just, like, recognizing red flag behavior. Like, there are certain behaviors where if there is a couple together and it's, like, clearly a one-way street versus a two-way street where one person might be into it and the other person might be, like, kind of in it just to please the other person, like, there's some baggage.
That's a problem. Yeah.
And if they're the people who are giving newbies, like, new advice, well, now you have someone, there's good advice and bad advice. There's people who's good at their jobs and people who are bad at their jobs. And you never know who they are. Everybody's a stranger to get to know them.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's just recognizing red flag behavior, just good behavior of people, good attitudes, and just, like, surround yourself with the right people and you're going to have a blast.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. For sure. All right. Speaking of bad advice, let's see what else we got in there. You got two. You cheating.
I wasn't cheating. So remember that 18-year cusp. Ah, this one.
Just prepping your lips for later tonight.
One of the myths that we heard was black people don't do that.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, you mean like going, like swing?
Any of it. Oh. Right, right.
Yeah. That's one of the things we had heard. Like, yeah. Black people don't do that one.
Why do you think that is, like, why do, where does that misconception come from? What do you think?
Misinformation.
Yeah, yeah.
Not having resources to understand that it could be anyone. I mean, even me, before I was even interested in swinging, watching stuff like Real Sex, all you saw were older white people and non-white people. You were just like, oh, and which is came to mind of, so do we do this because we're now bored because everybody was so much older? So by us being younger and black and brown, you're like,
yeah,
I don't see people that look like me in this life.
Right, right.
Or when we went to Hedo.
But I think that that's...
Well, because when we went to Hedo, that's when we did see a number of black people.
We were there, and the first thing when the lady came up to the other individual and said, "How do you talk to black people?" In the
last time,
I remember that. Because we were pretty much the only ones there, and everyone was kind of shy to talk to us. And so I said, "We're just going to speak to everybody when we walk through here."
I remember it. It was actually a couple that remembered us from our first club experience where I burst out in tears that we're not going to talk about anymore.
You keep bringing
she
it up.
She came up to us and was like, oh, she remembered us and everything. And she was like, there were so many people that wanted to talk to you guys. And she said the craziest one was a guy come to me and go, how do you talk to a black girl?
Well, here you go.
For
those in the back, everyone listening, let's solve the mystery. Here we go. So, ready?
Go ahead.
You say hi.
Hi.
It's that easy. That's it.
Who
there you go.
Who are you here with?
There you go. That that one's for free. That's a nice free tip right there.
I was like, really? That's a thing?
But I think that that misconception that black people don't do that, it's within us, right? It's within our culture that's actually perpetuated from our culture.
Yes.
We are typically culturally conservative black folks.
I was about to say
And here?
Yep.
Go for it. Oh, yeah. We're typically culturally conservative, and it's we believe we perpetuate that same stereotype within ourselves by saying, you know, it's like we're not claiming our sexuality. We're ashamed of it. It's a religious component to it. I'm getting kind of stuck here. Anybody
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of times as black people, there is absolutely a religious component that's comes to play in everything that we do.
For sure.
And a lot of times there's things that we want to do, but we shame each other into say, that's some white people stuff. We don't skydive.
Right.
We don't base jump. We don't swing. We might want to, but in and among ourselves, we kind of shame each other.
Yes.
Right.
You know? And then you get in and you're like, no. And once you reach a point in your life where you're like, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks.
Bingo.
Yep.
This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you realize like, there's a lot of other people that are just like me, right? Yeah.
And
yeah.
they are hot.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, no, and I agree with you on that. It's just that, you know, there is a component where you just have to say, I'm going to do what I want to do, you know? Like, yeah. for me, it was, just tell the story really quick, but for me, like, even at work, we had to do this dumb icebreaker where they said, like, three truths or something like that, or whatever the case, and no, two truths and a lie, whatever, right? So I put this one particular thing, and I told y'all about it, in there because I knew, because you think I'm black, right, that you just automatically think that that's going to be the truth, right? And it was very simple. I just said, oh, rap music is my favorite. I did that intentionally because I wanted to see, like, you're going to pick that as the truth because I'm black, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. And it's totally wrong, actually. I love rock and roll music. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite. I could tell you all about it from A to Z all the way to the 70s, all the way back. I can tell you everything yeah. that's about that. And then their mouth dropped. I was like, because you have this, like, thing that you think that just everyone fits into this one box. And mm-hmm. that's kind of how it is in a lifestyle, right? Like, you have to be able to be your own person and say, okay, like, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't mean that I, you know, am going to go to hell or, you know, I'm not, you know, into the spirit or anything right. like that. It's just that this is what I choose to do.
Yeah.
And just move on. But it is heavily barred up somehow all mm-hmm. the time in our culture as it relates to religion.
We got a sweet talker right there.
So.
Hi.
Hello there.
I'm not going to beat this to death too much, but I agree with you all in terms of the self-infliction of that belief. Mm-hmm. One thing, though, is that I believe we're constantly trying to be the model minority in some ways.
Hmm.
So we tell ourselves certain things because historically we did not have power over our bodies in this country.
Right.
And then we were seen as hypersexual. So I think as a counter correction to that or over correction to that, coupled with religion, we have inherently said we don't do that kind of stuff. Aside from other things we don't do, like skydive and access and exposure. Mm-hmm. That is the one thing that we can control, which is our bodies at this point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so you raise your children, your women, your son, your girls, your sons,
right.
to be model citizens
right.
in someone else's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Although those are our eyes, right?
Uh-huh.
We have suppressed our sexuality, our sexual experiences, our ability to have orgasms freely, all these things, right? And I think so much of that is historical and then us trying to reclaim an image still.
100% agree. Thank you.
Good. Especially those
Thank
orgasms.
You.
Especially those
telling
orgasms.
You. You snapping? We snapping on that
yeah,
one?
That was, yeah. like a, that was a good one. That was good.
Yeah. Go for it.
It's yours.
My turn? Okay. You can't be friends with the people you spend you swing with.
That's the, I like
false. We getting that false. One the fuck out of here.
It's false.
Where does that one come from? What do y'all think? You can't be friends with the people that you swing with.
Yeah, why wouldn't this is one that I wrote down because it resonated with me. Right early on when we started, we were like, we don't want to be friends with these perverts. Right, we just want to have sex. Get out of here. And I was reflecting last weekend. I was hanging out at a very vanilla situation last Sunday with some people in this room, and the people I spend the most time with now, 10+ years later, doing this, are the people who I get naked with occasionally.
Right.
And we don't even do it that often, right? It's just like my network of people. And it's been growth for me because I can be completely vulnerable and open with my folks here. I'm not hiding anything about myself. Even my oldest friends, they don't know some things about me.
Right.
And I withhold, right? And
right.
so it was like it stood out to me that that was where we started. We don't want to be friends with these people. And now this is our network, man.
It's so like, yeah. exactly, man.
Yeah.
yeah snap no, that one up, too.
Yeah. For I think sure. that we have a lot of our friends, I mean, besides our childhood friends, right? A lot of our friends are swingers that we hang out
yeah,
with.
Like closest friends.
Like the closest that we hang out with, like often are our swinger friends. It's not mm-hmm. that we hanging out and we're having sex every time we mm-hmm. see each other, but it's just like
hey, you want to go out to the Waffle House or wherever it is? Yeah, you're trying to go. I'm trying to go too. You know, yeah. And I could have saw you naked like 3 weeks ago, and it's fine.
Like yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, like there are times when, you know, Mr. Dependable needed a break and just come over and just kick it and just like we'll smoke or we'll drink and we'll just like vent and just like let life take its course. And I know there's some other sweet talkers that Mr. Dependable and Paradise will go kick it. They'll come travel far and wide to just come and hang out and play pool.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that, man. I love the network of friends that we've created. I love the fact that, you know, that is not true.
It's not,
you know what I mean? We did like start out believing the same thing that he said, which was, you know,
that you can't be friends.
Yeah, yeah. That you can't be friends. That lifestyle people are like tools. They're sex toys.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to use them, have fun, have our good time, and then maybe we'll see you around.
Some people do that. And
some people do that. Yeah.
Cool with that, right? Some people, that's what they do. But, I mean, yeah, I think we started out the same way where we weren't going to be friends with anybody.
Right.
And then we.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I got these. We got our kids playing together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love that.
You at the graduations. Yeah.
I think a big part of the reason that we start off that way is out of fear. Because you're afraid of catching feelings. You're afraid of your partner catching feelings.
That one.
For me, I felt like my friends, before I got into this lifestyle, the people who are my really good friends, I love them. I love my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I said, but if I love somebody and I'm having sex with them, then that feels like a romantic relationship.
Right.
It feels like it makes the love a different kind of love. And I didn't understand how that would work. Mm-hmm. How could I love my friends, have sex with my friends, but not be in love with my friends?
Yeah.
And have feelings for my friends. I couldn't wrap my head around how that was going to work. I still can't explain in words how it works. I just know it works.
It is.
That was about to be my next question. Can anybody maybe put some words to how do you, like, how do you separate that?
I'll
like,
tell you.
Go can for I chime it. In on this? So
Sure. Anybody.
Nope.
I was going to say, when my wife suggested this to me, I remember telling her, I got in this because I wanted to find new friends. That was my initial start with this. I didn't get in for the sex or any of that stuff because from how I started, from my experiences in the past of my lifestyle, I knew that my current friends, they were good, but they didn't think like how I thought.
Yeah.
I couldn't talk to them about my experiences and all the wild things that were occurring with me. And be able to, well, besides you, but I needed a little bit more from not being judged from, you know, my history of the things that I was doing. So when I found this, I said I needed to get in this and find some new friends, some people that I can get along with and learn and become closer with and relate. And they understand that it's okay. I think I understood in the beginning that you could love people in a friendship way.
Yep.
And love them and be okay with it and still interact and share all these moments with these individuals and it'd be okay, you know?
Right.
So when I started this, that's how, like when I first met you and I said, I can see me talking to this guy.
That's
when
we first started
talking from day one. And then it turned into, I was right with that.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
We got to comment.
So you asked to put it to words. So like, this is one of my favorite words and it's compartmentalization.
Yep.
Like you learn to put things in a box. So your friends can be your sex toys, but then you can put that box away and they can also be like your best friends where you can do lifestyle with, but you can also do vanilla stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting invited to their family parties. You're going to concerts together and like, there's no sex involved at all. And like, most of our really good friends, almost like we don't really have vanilla friends anymore. Like,
we just got married in the summer, and like it was like 40% family, 60% our friends,
swingers,
all 60%, all of them. We haven't had any vanilla friends.
Yeah,
Congratulations.
The biggest thing is like it's not just the sex; it's the open-minded mindset.
Yes, yes.
Where 100. You can be yourself, and they're not going to judge you. They're not going to make fun of you.
Bingo.
And if you have a problem in life, they're probably going to be the first people there to actually support you because they actually really do care about you.
Mm-hmm.
When you can have other friends where it's like they might not be as good as a friend as some of the lifestyle people, and they might be more of a fake friend. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Can I jump on that? Like, you're talking about fake friends. I think since we've been in the lifestyle together for, what, 6 years now?
It's been a bit.
Right? I think we have more genuine friends that are lifestyle, mm-hmm. a lot of people in this room, than any of our friends previously. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were close people, right? And we, mm-hmm. we love them. But I don't think we could be as vulnerable and open and just feel as close mm-hmm. as we do with the people that we have currently in our life
yeah.
and happen to be lifestyle.
So yeah, I understand.
I say it actually takes friendships to a whole nother level.
To a whole nother level.
It does.
Something that is, I know you had something. While y'all passing it down, I'll just comment real quick. It's like the love that I have for my wife. Okay, because we're talking about, like, how do you separate, you know, you were talking about how you separate that those feelings of, okay, I love these people and I'm having sex with them. How do I separate that? If I'm having sex with my partner and I love her, where's the line, right?
Yeah.
And it's just brand new. It's a brand new feeling. It's just something that you will never be able to describe or unless you're there. Like, there are people that in our friendship circle that I have sex with and that I love dearly, but they'll never have the same love that I have for my wife.
No, that's, yeah. I was, yes, and, right? So how do you define it? Mm-hmm. For us, this has been a conversation we've had a lot recently because we've started dating other people separately, right? Mm-hmm. Experimenting with that. And I would struggle with, okay, I have sex with this person, I hang out with them, but they don't measure up to this relationship. This is my standard relationship. If she told mm-hmm. me tomorrow, like, we're done with this, I'm out. Let's get out of here, right? And so where it ended for me or where it is for me right now is there's not always escalation, right? How we look at relationships, like, we always want to take the relationship to the next step,
right?
Whatever the next step is. You start dating, moving together, you get married, like, whatever. But sometimes you just have a relationship with a person and it's cool right there where it is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And where we are now is enjoying being cool where those relationships are. So yes,
that's right.
We have sex. Yes, yes, we're friends. But we're not going to escalate to the next level. It's not
right.
going to get, there's no more to go to. We're just going to enjoy where we are today.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a revelation for me.
And I think it's still about being like, I am probably like, I don't know, I'm an expert at compartmentalizing, like compartmentalizing emotions and all the things. I definitely can separate the two, but it doesn't mean that I don't care about mm-hmm. like my lifestyle friends or anything like that. Like if one of my friends really had a problem and you're like, hey, look, I'm having this issue, this, that, and the third, and you needed me to come over, I'll come over. Without a question, I'll come over. What do you want? Like, what's going on? And things like that. And I will argue with you just like any other friend, too, if I had to. Right? So I don't treat them like differently because I had sex with you yesterday. That's it. Like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We did. However, now today is today. And if you have a problem, you know, I'll come to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was just going to piggyback kind of what you were saying. Mm-hmm. For Rick and I, we've been in lifestyle for 32 years.
So wow.
That's a long time.
Wow.
But
right, yeah.
It's been a constant evolution, the whole thing.
Like, for sure.
We've gone through the roles where, you know, only same room. Okay, different rooms are okay. Mm-hmm. But always, you know, we have both at the play at the same night. You know, all kinds of different evolutions.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. I'm in love with my husband. Mm-hmm. I love my friends, mm-hmm. but it's different. I'm in love with him.
100%. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
it's exactly. Like, you know how I know the love is different? Because there's nobody in this room or lifestyle who could piss me off like her. There's nobody. Like, she knows the buttons. Because everybody else, if they did the same thing, it'd be like, all right, fuck it, whatever. You know, whatever, they cool with blah, blah, blah. But her, it's like, what the fuck do you mean? I don't understand you. Tell me, please, help me. Yeah, so there's nobody. So
he
says
that
I know
all the time,
different.
So he's telling the truth.
It's definitely the truth. All right, let's do another one. Go for another one.
I love you, Locke.
Okay. It says, once people back. Find out that you are in a lifestyle / swinger, they automatically internalize and assume that you are hitting on them. Yes.
Oh.
Or want some sort of sexual experiences with them. Yes.
That's a good one.
That is true.
Anybody care to share on that one?
I haven't had women try to do that to me yet. I'm still waiting for that moment. I'll live through you guys right there.
So,
go ahead, sweet talker.
So, you know, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, and we've shared with some of our vanilla friends mm-hmm. that this is what we do. You know, hey, you know, you guys have a lot of good friends. You guys have a lot of good time. Why don't you ever invite us out? You guys go on these trips, and we're like,
you ain't ready. No.
And so you know, we kind of share that with them, right? Uh-huh. And then I remember the first thing the husband said, and these are our friends we've known for 20-something years. Yeah. And the first thing he said was, oh, because he's like, oh, I was thinking about that. And he said, you know, just let's make a pact. We're never going to do it. And I was like, bro, we're never going to have uh-huh. sex. We're never, like we would never, right. even if we introduce you to the lifestyle, like, you are vanilla friends.
Yeah.
We're not doing, like, our friendship mm-hmm. is way more important than the lifestyle. But the first thing they think is like, oh my God, you're going to mm-hmm. try to, you know, and it's yeah. like, exactly. and then it changes. Like, when now we're hanging out and it's changes a little bit because
yeah.
they think it's this hyper,
hypersexual.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we've tried to, on some level, like, you know, you try to mix, you know, hey,
commingle.
Yeah. You commingle. And you're like, hey, look, our lifestyle friends are just regular people.
Right. Yes.
And then they're way over the top.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And our vanilla friends are like, wait, and we're like, yeah. no. And then we got to tell them like, no. No, we're just hanging like out. That. Like, we're yes. hanging out and having yes. game night like we've done for 20 years. Like,
uh-huh.
And they think it's something completely different.
Man, yes. who you telling? So we have...
I think you're about to tell the story. The same thing. Yeah, when we got in the car, it was like, that wasn't that bad. I'm like...
No, not that one. You can have that. I don't know what that is. But one of my absolute best friends, my brother from another, his wife... They know that we are lifestyle, mm-hmm. and they introduce us to some of their friends, and then they pull us to the side and it's like, don't fuck our friends.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, I know how to act.
But if they want to, I mean, they grown.
he'll mess with them and say stuff like that, right? And I'm like, no, I was going to bring up same people, though.
Yep, go ahead.
I was going to bring up, we all were hanging out. You was there. We was all hanging out, right? And, and we're you know, was out. We went for drinks.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we're all chilling. And everybody, majority of the people at the table, all lifestyle. Maybe two, three people weren't at this particular table. It is daytime and all the things. I'm setting up the scene. Mm-hmm. It's daytime. We're having drinks. We're all lifestyle.
In a public space.
In a public space outside, right? So we invite... his best friend and his wife, you know,
Vanilla,
come hang out, you know, with us. We're going to go out for drinks. We have the drinks and all the things. We leave you guys to go home, and we're walking to the car, and it was like, that actually wasn't that bad. And I'm like, what does that mean? what happened? What wasn't bad? Well, you know, it, like, all of those people and everybody was cool, and it wasn't, what did you think it was going to happen?
Yeah,
like, we're in a public space. Yes, everybody is lifestyle. What you thought was going to happen? Like, everybody was going to be touching on each other doing all the things. No. Yeah.
I was going to
say that. I was like, no. Like, literally, she was like, it wasn't that bad. Everybody was cool.
Right.
I was like, yeah.
It's kind of crazy for us because I think we thought we were being slick and our vanilla friends didn't know what was going on. And in the last several years, we had a very open relationship with a third person that some people, more of our network, found out about than mm-hmm. we intended when we started. And no one, like, batted a night. No one batted a night. They were like, hey, we're good. Nothing changed. And so that was a revelation for us that our friends, folks that we thought would be like, oh, we can't hang out with them anymore because they're going to try to fuck us. They weren't thinking that. However, for your boy, like, I'm cheesing because a lot of my vanilla female friends now are slating up. Like, hey.
Hey,
what's going on with y'all? Y'all want to hang out on Friday night? So,
It hasn't been as
impactful as we thought it would be.
Yeah, we got a mutual vanilla friend.
You
know, like, I got my eye on
her. Dang it, you went out with her.
Our first rules when we got in it was when we started, when we said we're not having sex with any of our friends. That was, do you remember that? Yeah, our regular friends when we first started that. And exes and regular friends.
Oh, have you broken the exes one?
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow. What? Interesting.
No, they said, is it still a rule? Oh, no, no, no. I say, have you broken it?
Have you broken it?
Have you broken it? Is it stillable? No.
Oh.
No, because it's the same way when I used to, in regular life, when I used to have regular friends that used to try to come over to me all the time, who were just my friends, and I used to tell them, I'm not having sex with you guys because it's too hard to find regular. It's too hard to find friends.
Right.
It's easy to have sex with any and everybody. That's not the hard part. Having a relationship with someone, and it used to always mess things up. So then I'm always one who's trying to keep my friends as friends because that's difficult.
I'm sure your sex game got better since then, buddy. Don't worry.
I'm trying to think. We've never had sex without friends.
I've never had sex with anyone.
I've never had sex with my friends.
I just don't.
Mm-mm.
No. We've never had sex with friends.
Right. No.
Only lifestyle people. Right. That became lifestyle, our friends. Yeah, that's
we
different.
Haven't converted anyone.
No, we haven't converted.
Go ahead. We've converted.
Yeah,
people.
No vanilla.
But like all throughout history, there's always people who have like preset judgments or stigmas about people. And just same thing with swingers. Like that's what's going on right now. But just to show you like the same problem, different part of the spectrum. It's the same thing if you have someone who came out as being gay. And mm-hmm. you have all the guys where mm-hmm. they're not allowed to be on athletic teams.
Exactly.
This guy's going to try to.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, like, wow. You're not my type, dude. Like,
yeah.
That's a
but
good one.
It's all about just like for each one, reach one, teach one. You just need to have good leaders in the front and you just re-explain people and just teach them and show them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not always about that. Like, it just kind of blow people's minds sometimes.
That's what we're doing right now. We're dispelling a lot of.
I actually have something to go into that with the lifestyle. Sure. So let me just piggyback on that. In the lifestyle, that happens as well. So when you have like some men, for example, that are experimenting with other men, for example, that they didn't realize that that was a thing, for example, that they like. And then all of a sudden they, you know, they have this experience and they come out and say it and say, hey, you know, I occasionally like a little bit of play with other men. Mm-hmm. People assume that, hey, that means that they're mm-hmm. going to try, like, if we're having a four-way conversation, the things kind of lead, they're going to try to, like, come on to mm-hmm. the other husband or something like that. I'm like, no, the same rules apply. You have a conversation.
Right.
And then you say, okay, this is what it is. This is what I like. And this is the rules. And that's it. And everybody follows it regardless of, like, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Same thing with women. Yeah.
Same with women.
Yeah.
So, I did not say anything about being bisexual to the lifestyle. So then when I have vanilla girlfriends that find out, like, oh, you're bi, but wait, bitch, you ain't trying to fuck me. Like, because I don't like you. So it's always this confusion of, well, you're trying it there. Why didn't you try with me? And then I go, are you bisexual and interested in me? Oh, no. You're just supposed to come on to me. And then I'm like, if you don't get on out of here, that's not how it works. It is a thing of if you're doing it there, why haven't you tried it with us? Or are you sitting there thinking about me naked while we're just sitting there too?
I mean, I am.
Not you.
No. Oh, sorry. Shit.
He's like, I might
sorry,
be.
Sorry, my bad. All the time. Speaking of bi, right? I'm going to jump in with another quick misconception that we heard at PCAP, and you guys may have heard us mention this one in different in different venues or forums or whatever. But we were in a workshop, a seminar, and a lady mentioned that she used the term bi necessary.
And that's the first time I ever heard it.
Bi necessary.
And I remember
where
she
believes that in order to get the party started, she had to act as if she was bisexual. It was necessary for her to play with the girl to get the thing going. That one broke my heart.
Oh, yeah.
That I felt terrible for her. And everybody in there kind of just was like, no, hell no, that is wrong. You know, tried to make it a safe space for her without judging, but let her know, like, you do not have to do anything that you're not comfortable with.
That you don't want
to
do.
Sorry, quick tangent, but yes.
Yep.
Go so for it.
That's how like my priest started off everything in church with doing all the sexual stuff. in the confessional, which is the original glory hole. From sinner to winner. And then the other half I learned in Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Thanks everyone
for the merit badges.
Thanks everyone for joining us. I got nothing else.
Well, no, you have your differences between like your bisexual people, and then you have your trisexual people, where it's like they'll try anything once you're kind of like discovering it, and maybe mm-hmm. they're doing it, or maybe mm-hmm. they're just trying to do it to turn their partner on, and you don't mm-hmm. know if they're totally into it or not. But like, mm-hmm. it's just you gotta tell everybody, just be yourself, what makes you feel comfortable, and never do anything that doesn't make you feel comfortable.
You can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. Did y'all have something or? Okay, next one.
Swingers just want an excuse to cheat. the male half of the partner push the female into the lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
That's another
That's an oldie
one.
But goodie.
That is?
Yeah.
Whoa. Speak on it. Oh, go ahead. What was that?
I know it was us. I'm the reason we went.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the more you talk to, when you talk to, go for it. Say that again, please,
yeah,
in the mic.
I was saying, show of hands, how many of the women are the reason why we went into lifestyle? I am.
Right.
I'm the reason why we went in there. I think it's that's
so, yeah, of the crowd, it looked like it was almost about half of the crowd said that the woman got it started. And surprisingly, when you talk to more and more couples, you will see that there is a lot of women who are responsible for this.
Yeah.
Responsible
for their relationship. Doing like other things there.
Yeah.
When I was laying them. Oh, it wasn't.
No coercion.
No coercion.
Oh.
No.
So what I was laying in. Lifestyle. Women run this whole thing. Like, they control it all. Everything happens based on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because if you leave it up to us,
uh-huh.
guys, we're going to be go all the time.
See, now is women. That another one, though? Is that another misconception? Is that another myth that women completely run the lifestyle?
You and I have been.
Do men have a say in it? Right.
You and I have been talking about this since we first got into this.
Yeah.
When I used to tell you all the time that women run this. Because at any moment, if she says it's done, what are you going to do?
But if I did the same. If I said we're done.
Wait a minute.
We're done, right?
So you're saying you're going to say that at some
point? Hell no.
No.
That's like the panic button. No. Never push
and
the
then,
panic button.
And then
no,
how we've
I'm
been going
saying.
Through this for years when I always tell you, have you watched their face? Who have you been following majority of this? Lifestyle journey.
Following? No.
As
we
in,
walk, we walk side by side.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No, I think when he asked me that one day, I don't know why you asked me. He said that, you know, what if I just said that I don't want us to do the lifestyle no more. I was like, I'm still going.
No.
Like, I was like,
no, okay. All right. All jokes aside. All jokes
like
aside.
I say.
All jokes aside. All right. We're going to pause and we're going to come right on front. Get
what was it? It was
on
break.
Front Street. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah. Last year, I called break.
Oh, yes.
I called break because we were just on a different beat. I felt like I was going in the wrong direction. And you and I, we weren't seeing eye to eye on a lot of things. Maybe I felt like I was going out too much and I had to prove to you. I was like, no, you come first. So we stopped.
Oh, you're talking about the break.
The break. Yeah, that's what I said. The break. That was a break. But I'm just saying, yeah, we didn't quit.
That wasn't not a quit. That was a break.
Look at
but that
face,
was
though.
My decision, though.
Yes,
that
was
my
decision.
So what I'm only saying that to kind of dispel that myth is that it's all women, and I feel like men do have some agency. We do say, you know, that we can claim, our opinions matter. Our opinions matter. What we want to do matters, and. Yes, we do have to abide by. We do take care of the women. We do make sure that they are safe and that they're comfortable. And if they're not comfortable, we're gone, right? We do that. That's our job, to be the protectors. But they also are protecting us as well. Whether we like it or not, I know she is a lioness, and she will scratch out anyone's eyes if I needed her to.
Yeah, and I tell them too, like that one's off limits. Those types of things, you know, because I could see a train wreck sometimes, like before it actually comes. So I'm like, no, not that one. Like, I don't care what you do and what happens, not that one. So things like that, yeah.
You had something?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Kim, please speak.
Oh, yeah. piggybacking on the original question about having that men are driving the force of pushing women into this.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we met a couple at Desire like a couple years ago, and we were at the pool. You know, you're getting people's origin stories, and this guy, he literally tells us that he introduced his wife to the lifestyle as their honeymoon. He booked a trip to Hito.
Uh oh.
So
she gets to Hito and realizes that it's nude. It's their and so we're like, ooh. What the hell? Like, and so she's crying. She's like, I'm going to, you know. I didn't sign up for this. Like, it was a whole thing. So we're asking her, like, how did this work out? You know, it was a whole thing. And he was like, yeah, it's either this is what we're doing or not. He literally was telling us this, right? So what you're saying, it does happen. And I was surprised that this couple told us this story because I thought it was the most craziest thing ever. Mm. But, yeah, he he. Wow. And I think they had been married, like, what, it was 20 years. They were an older couple. They were much older than us. But, yeah, again, they were at Desire. They've been going to Pearl. But their honeymoon was at Hedo, and surprise, honey, we're at Hedo taking clothes off.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's not the norm.
That's not the norm. No. But it does happen.
It does. And, yeah. And now that you mention it, you actually reminded me of a story that happened here. It happened here. It was for like a Halloween night. Remember that? We were at the bar.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, there was a guy like waiting behind us, and he was like rapping with us. Mm-hmm. And you could see like the young lady, his partner, she was kind of like timid, mm-hmm. like kind of looking like a deer in the headlights, ears swiveling. Huh?
Yeah.
Because he kept trying to throw her on me.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. It was and just- And we asked, was this their first time? And he said, yeah. And she was like, I didn't know we were coming here.
Yeah.
You know, and she was terrified. And I don't know your experience with that particular couple. But, yeah, it looks like he surprised her. Hey, we're going to a costume party. Get sexy. And then brought her to a swinger club. Yeah.
I was like, I'm good. Y'all
can.
Yeah. I'm not getting in this.
You can
have
it.
Kept talking and kept trying to get her to come over there and interact with me. And I could just see the fear. You know how I'm always saying, are you looking at her face?
Uh-huh.
Are you seeing what's happening?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And he just was, he just kept trying to go.
Mm-mm.
You know me, I'm not up into any of this.
You got that one?
Yep. Let's see. Another misconception is going to a sex club and assuming it's a free for all. A free for all if play is happening. Mm-hmm. I was a unicorn in a threesome, and a random dude or male came up and slapped his dick on me.
Oh no!
And tried to finger me.
Oh,
I had to
no.
check him. Quit. And consent is key.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Orgies are not a free for all.
No, they're not.
That's another key here.
a permission slip to enter.
That's the fear that a lot of women that I hear when all of us have play with a number of people in the room, as mm-hmm. I know she expresses a lot of the fear of individuals just coming up and touching, individuals without speaking, trying to insert themselves into the
situation.
Yes, yeah, I'll let mm-hmm. you go on.
To the situation.
Yeah, because first of all, there's a lot already going on in your mind with so many people around. Mm-hmm. If you are not the person that is an exhibitionist, if you're opening yourself up and you're out there playing around, and there are people that think, oh, just because you're naked, you're in the moment, I'm in here too, I'm just gonna stick my hand in here, I'm just gonna stick my dick in a place, I'm gonna stick my boob in a place. Mm-mm. Without even talking to anybody,
right?
That shit is for the birds.
What do we use to help that, babe? Like in an orgy situation, in a multi-couple situation,
we do a circle of consent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does that help? What is it, and how does it help?
So what it is you can do it if it's just four people or however
sure.
many people, but
yep.
especially when you get up to six, eight, you know, and more, you want to have, it's literally, we sit down in however circle or whatever the case, but we sit down, and before there's any sexual activity going on, we individually go around the circle and say, hey, what are you into
today.
Like for tonight, in this moment right now, mm-hmm. not yesterday, what? Not mm-hmm. last year. Like, what are you into?
What are your heart knows tonight? For tonight?
And Bingo. What is your heart knows for right now? Mm-hmm. Because that's important, because you can be talking about, oh, we got this rule. That the rule from when, you know, and what you may have been in the mood for 2 hours ago may be different from right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that, and we go around the room, and that gives people the ability also who's performing.
It is kind of a performance.
Not literally performing, but that gives everyone Sometimes. An understanding of where, like, each person is that's within, that's mm-hmm. going to be participating.
And I swear to beans, no. whenever there's a night like that, that is the only serious moment of the whole night.
No, it is. It really is. Yeah.
That is the most serious That's moment facts. Of the whole night. And then everybody gets back into
gets
their
back into
time.
It.
And then it's like, and action. Go yeah. back.
We run a swingers group ourselves, and we often host.
Plug them. Go for it.
They're called the Panda Whores. And
next weekend.
Familiar with the Panda Room.
Holy shit, is that you?
Yeah.
I got
That's yes. us. Oh, and little shit. Side note, you know what they call a group of pandas?
No.
An embarrassment.
But my turn.
Sorry.
One of the misconceptions that we have directed at us, because, you know, in the panda room, it gets it's pretty much a guaranteed orgy, but a lot of people think that we only play that way. And you know, a lot of times people think that if it's not a big, huge bunch of us, then we're never gonna, like, you know, be with them.
Okay. Right.
And
right.
We don't even get like a chance with them because they have that conception.
That conception, yeah.
And I honestly thought that was the only way you guys played until I started seeing you guys. Yes.
And then to piggyback on top of that, like, we've had it where inside, like, our orgies and stuff like that, like, I'll be with somebody else, not her, playing with her, and then sometimes you get a guy coming in with, like, bad etiquette where he's just, like, starts, like, touching her, or, like, hey, can I, like, fuck her? And I'm just like, it's not my body. She's not, why are you asking me? Like, you're asking her.
Right.
But after a while, it's, like, in the panda room, like, we police our own. And the thing is, like, the great thing about our group is, like, it's so big, everybody looks out for each other, so we're always looking out for consent things or someone acting out of pocket or trying to be sneaky and doing something they're not supposed to do. So, like, everybody's looking out for each other.
I love it, man. So we got one more comment, and then we're going to take just two more, and we're going to start wrapping it up.
Real quick on that comment, I think that leads to, I don't know if that's a different myth. I'm sorry if I'm changing.
No, go for it, man. Let's go.
But the idea that you got to play in a person's play style to be with them is something that I get annoyed about a little bit, because people don't ask questions. So for a long time, we wouldn't tell people that we full swapped, because it felt like when we said that, it was like, all right, let's get naked and get to going now.
And right.
Maybe we weren't there on that night.
Exactly.
Maybe just like, right. And so what I've come to realize is that we do a lot of things which are small group now post pandemic. And there'll be four people in a room who don't even want to be touched. And we're just as comfortable in that room, and somebody might have sex next to them. But it doesn't mean that you have to be in the same play space or have the same style to hang out with people to be at the same event. And so it's about vibes. Right? I want to be around people with good vibes.
Yeah.
And you might get naked with me, but we might never touch each other. And that's cool. And we can have a great night.
That's a good one.
I think that's a good one. That was a good one.
That's great.
I think I dealt.
He's like, no. No,
because.
Like, just really quick. I was
but remember, we were at a party, and it was me, you, and Trist all in the kitchen. Naked talking.
Oh, yeah. We're chilling.
Hey, I'm telling you, those are the best kind of parties. You just, like, naked walking around, drinking a Sprite. Fucking, you know, that's the best.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to, make sure that we were able to copy those nights to be able to take pictures. And that's how the Panda Horse started, because we were like, we're all professional people. So I would put on a panda head and take as many pictures as you want.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then to piggyback on one more comment, we kind of circled back to an earlier one. It's like the best thing about the panda is, like, some swinger clubs and hotel takeovers, like, they had a very cliquish thing and a very cultural thing where there was a black and white divide, and there was a Ken and Barbie versus the rest of the crowd.
Sure.
And, the best thing about, the panda is, on top of being embarrassment, it's like, we're black, we're white, we're Asian. Like, everybody can come in. And as we started to go around,
whoever has on the light up sneakers.
Part of our, like, personal mission statement is, like, we're going to rip down, like, the old culture, the old clique, the way of doing things, and we're going to rebuild it a new way, in a positive way. And, like, that's one thing. We just kept our rooms open. We've developed great friendships.
That's awesome.
Kind of the people who might have been intimidated to talk to someone else, we can help bridge that gap. Be like, no, they're cool. Here, I'll come make an introduction with you.
That's awesome, man.
I've seen your room. I've seen the panda.
And you made it out alive?
Yeah. No, I just walked back, and I was like, okay. But, we're going to do two more cards, but that was one more thing I wanted to just say just real quick. So that people on our previous show, or if you've heard me say it in person, that I have a thing that I just like. I like to dom people, and I like to particularly step on people occasionally. However, here's the thing, is that when I said it, like, people were coming, oh, you can't do that to me. I didn't say I was.
Right.
That's the only thing I like.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that I was trying to, like, some of our friends was like, no, we can't do that. It's like, I didn't
didn't ask you to.
Yeah.
But so
your shoes look very sharp.
Yes, yes, yes. So that was kind of like a thing for a little bit, especially with some of our friends. They kept saying like, oh, no, 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 I don't want to play like that. I was like, I didn't ask you to play. Like, but yeah, but so, all right. Let's see, one of the cards says that swinger red flags, communication is key. Oh, wait.
Oh, two-way street. They mentioned that.
Oh, right. Yeah, we talked about this, and this is two-way street, not a one-way street. We talked about that, yep.
All right, so go for this one.
Let's see, it says, lifestyle means you are bored at home.
Oh.
No.
It doesn't.
Like, it doesn't? Yeah, we talked about that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that one. Yeah, let's do one more. What we got?
Make it a good one.
All right, let's see. Bad advice. Figure out
a dynamic
that works for you and stick with it. Mm. Instead, couples could revisit rules and agreements regularly, mm-hmm, to talk about what is working and what isn't.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's like none of this stuff is set in stone. If there's anything that you and I have learned, Trist, is that keeping an open mind is always the best. Keeping this thing kind of fluid. We got boundaries and things that we know that I'm not even going to say never, but we got certain boundaries that probably won't shift, I think protection is one of them, right?
Yeah.
You know, but then there are other things that we keep fluid. We're learning. We're always changing. We discovered that you have a dom side.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been fun. Yeah. That's been fun. So if we were closed off on a lot of that shit, we would have never crossed those bridges, man, and opening the doors for you. Go for it.
And that's coupled with the communication, because how would you ever know that she had that side if the two of you hadn't entered into a conversation, right?
Yeah.
100%.
That's true.
You have to be brave enough and vulnerable enough to open up that conversation, have, mm-hmm, that conversation, ask the questions, or just come right out and say, oh, hey, by the way, I realized I have a dom side. Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about it. That's new. That's new to me. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to being vulnerable is that how will the other person react to that, approach it? If, mm-hmm, she had said, I have a dom side, and you said, that's it, we're getting a divorce, mm-hmm, that's scary. She would never be vulnerable with you ever again.
Right.
But because you said, whoa, okay, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's explore that together.
Exactly. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Go ahead, babe. I'm sorry.
No.
Or Mr. Oh, Dependable.
I was going to say, that's kind of how we got even into this whole lifestyle when she, as I was laying in bed watching TV, and she just said, I'm interested in exploring my bi side. And I just looked over and said, do go on.
I'll turn off the TV. I'll turn the TV off.
Right. You cannot scare the deer with these type of things.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to see what her interests were. And that's how that progressed. So and much like even when we came from Temptations last year, we just started talking more. And I said, what are we really doing in all this? We need to, where do we see ourselves? Mm-hmm. What would you like to evolve into? We learn a lot of things late. Let's explore more. Let's talk more. Let's be more open. And let's enjoy this to the fullest extent of what we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have mentored a lot of people through the years. We've had many groups. We've done a lot of different things. So let's, as we wind down these years, let's make it about us.
Let's wind down these years.
As much as we can, you know?
I mean, you are
old. Turning it back up.
So I think that's probably
that's
a great way to wrap end. That up. I think that was well said.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
So, yeah. Again, I'd like to thank Vicky of Taboo Social Club. And of course, I'd like to thank all of the live Sweet Talkers here. We really appreciate y'all making time, coming through.
Yes. Now go get dressed and get sexy.
Yes. So
put in sneakers.
Let's do it. Sneaker ball.
Yep.
Thank y'all again. Y'all have a great night. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Again, we'd like to thank you for living a sweet life with us.
To everyone who couldn't join us live in the suite, check out our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review.
Feel free to email us at livingthesweetlifepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram at The Sweet Life Podcast and on Twitter at Sweet Life Pod.
Don't forget to subscribe to us on our YouTube channel at Living the Sweet Life Podcast so that you can be a sweet talker the next time.
So do you have anything else to say to our lovely guests?
Until next time, keep living the sweet life. Bye.